Well, welcome everybody to Downtown Harbor Church. If it is your first time here, my name is John. I'm the lead pastor. Appreciate you guys coming on out. So we are in week two of this series that we're calling Big Questions. And we're just taking a look at these questions that many of us are wondering about and perhaps a little afraid to ask at times. And so our goal is to find out what God's word has to say about these things that we're wondering about. So today what I want to do is I want to turn our attention to prayer. So, I know you look at me and you think, that's a well-adjusted human being. You know, that's a guy that has it all together. Allow me to disappoint you. So, today's all about prayer, and I want to tell you about a time in my life where my relationship with prayer was complicated. Now, some of you know this story. I call it the Amen story. But I was 13 years old. This is back in New Jersey. I was 13. And one day I prayed, and I said amen, and something felt off, okay? But, you know, you're 13 years old, everything feels off, so you kind of move on with your day. Next day I pray again, said amen, and something felt off again. And so then I realized, I figured out what the problem was. My amen wasn't long enough, and so that prayer didn't count. And so I said amen. That worked. That counted. I felt great. Next day, I prayed, I gave it the old amen, but that didn't work. And so I tried something new, and I said, amen, that worked. This went on for months, folks, and it got to a point where the only way I could find solace in prayer is if I would say, amen, 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 amen. Now I'm a full-blown lunatic, okay? So one day, I'm in a lacrosse game, and I send up really what should be a quick prayer to the Lord. And I start to weave this tapestry of amens when all of a sudden the guy I was guarding heard me and goes, what'd you say? I go, oh man, just like that. And I felt the Lord going, you gotta knock it off. You look crazy. Why do I tell you this story? I tell it to you because prayer can be confusing, okay? And you may not be a 13-year-old dealing with undiagnosed OCD, but chances are there have been a moment in your life where you've asked, am I doing this right? Because you've read the Bible, And you've heard about the power of prayer. I mean, you've seen people in Scripture call down fire from the sky through prayer. You know what God can do. You know what promises he makes. But there's been times in your life where you have prayed and God didn't do what you thought he should do. And it can be doubly confusing. When Jesus says things like, you know, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And yet, why is it that sometimes I pray, and I believe he can do it, and he didn't do it? Right? Like you pray for that person to be healed, and they died. Or you pray for your job, and you lost it. Or you prayed for your marriage, and it ended. Why didn't God answer my prayer? Did I do something wrong? Is he not listening? Does he not care? Is he mad at me? Does prayer even work? Why didn't God answer my prayer? This is a question that so many of us ask, and it's the question that I want to tackle today. So to first answer this question, I got to build a little bit of a foundation. And we got to talk about who God is, who we are, and what the real purpose of prayer is. So when you read Scripture, what becomes clear is that we are not the main character. And that's hard to hear as human beings. It's even more difficult to hear as Americans, but we are not the main character in Scripture. God is actually the main character. And we, as his creation, need to realize that we exist to serve him. He does not exist to serve us. So don't misunderstand me. He loves us. He sent his Son to die for us, and he loves to give us gifts, according to Jesus, but he does not exist to serve us. And when we recognize that, it really does help us understand the purpose and the meaning behind prayer. So let's first define what the purpose of prayer is not. Okay, the purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will, because that's often what we think it is, right? Many times we think of God as sort of being our, you know, cosmic concierge who exists merely to meet all of our needs. And whenever we need something, kind of push a button, or ring a little bell, and we expect God to come running. And while it is true that we can ask things of God in prayer, that is not the main purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to know God so that we can do His will. The purpose of prayer is to know God intimately, to learn about Him, to learn about His heart, to be conformed to Him so that we can live according to His will. Okay, so that makes sense, fine. But when we read scripture that says things like, when you ask for anything in my name and I will do it, it can be confusing because many times that's just not how it goes. So why is it that even though Jesus says that we can pray and God will answer, He sometimes doesn't? I want to give you four potential reasons based on scripture as to why God doesn't answer some prayers. Now, before I get into these, I just want to give you a disclaimer, okay? I can't tell you why God didn't answer your prayer. And it could be as simple as He didn't answer it yet. It could just be a timing issue, right? But what I can tell you is that Scripture does provide some answers, and some of the answers you're going to hear today are going to be a little tough to hear, but I think it would behoove us, if you will, to consider them and to ask God to search our hearts to see if any of these areas that we're going to look at today might be affecting our own prayer life. So, with that being said, based on Scripture, the first reason God sometimes doesn't answer our prayers is because of broken relationships. When we have broken relationships with other people, Scripture indicates that sometimes that can hinder our prayer life. It can affect and impact our relationship and our intimacy with God. Let me show you a couple of examples. So in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is talking to His disciples about faith. He's giving them a little bit of a faith lesson, and He says this, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Sounds very familiar to what He said earlier, right? "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Ask, and ye shall receive." But I want you to see what Jesus says next. He adds a little bit of asterisk to this teaching, and He says, "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone that you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." So He's implying that our relationship with other people might matter when we pray to God. Andrew, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. Can you help me with that? Which makes sense if you're a parent, if you have kids, because if they're fighting and they ask later on, "Hey, can we go get some ice cream?" You go, "No, we can't. We can't." Why? Because you're fighting. You're not doing what I've asked you to do. And in this family, we are to love each other. So no, I'm not going to give you what you asked for. So our relationship with others impacts our relationship with God. In Matthew 5, Jesus says it this way. I think it's coming from over there, Andrew, in that room. I hear something coming there. "So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you," now for our context, we might say, so if you're coming to church to worship God, and you remember that you and your brother-in-law are not good right now, Jesus would say, "Leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God," which is the opposite of what we do, isn't it? We have all these broken relationships. We're fighting with coworkers. We're mad at our siblings. And we come to church looking to make things right with God. Meanwhile, God is like, "No, no, 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 no. Don't worry about making them right with me. Go make it right with them first. Then come back to me." Again, Jesus is implying that our relationships with others impacts our relationship with God. One last thing. Peter is talking to husbands about their wives. Peter says this. "So, treat them with respect, honor them as those who will share with you the gracious gift of life. Love your wife, honor your wife, serve your wife, submit to your wife. And if you do this," Peter says, "then nothing will stand in the way of your prayers." So what do we take away from this? At some level, our relationship with other people impacts and affects our relationship with God, which means potentially, one of the reasons our prayers are going unanswered is because we might have a broken relationship. Now, I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Another possible reason God doesn't answer prayer is because we might have wrong motives. James, who is the brother of Jesus, said something interesting. He observed that people are often jealous of other people, shocker. And so he says they scheme and sometimes often kill to get what other people have. And he says to this group, you do all this scheming, you do all this plotting, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. To which they might reply, oh, I get it. I don't have to scheme and kill to get what they have. I can just ask God for it. But watch what James says. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. James is arguing that when we pray with selfish motives, that can hinder our prayers. These men are praying out of jealousy. Lord, give me this because they have it and I want it. According to James, those kinds of prayers, they don't even make it past the ceiling. See, James has given us a great opportunity to search our heart for the why behind the prayer. What's our motivation? Is it self-serving? Is it self-seeking? Is there some less than godly motivation? Like when I'm praying for God to give me a good parking spot, I'm not sure that's high on his list, okay? So, possible reasons God doesn't answer our prayers. Number one, we might have some broken relationships that we gotta work on. Number two, our motivations just might be wrong. Now, a third reason, and this is a complicated one, is that maybe we don't believe God will do it. There's a faith issue. Now, I want to be extremely careful as to how we proceed with this section, because when it comes to our prayers, faith is extremely important. However, faith has often been mishandled by the local church, and some real spiritual damage has been done, and I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about the power of faith in our prayers. So one day, these blind men were following Jesus and they're crying out to him, Lord, Son of David, heal us, you know. And so Matthew says, when Jesus had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? In other words, do you have faith? Do you actually believe that I have the power to do what you're asking me to do? They replied, yes, Lord, we believe. We believe you're the Messiah. We believe you're the Son of God. We believe that you are able to heal us. Watch this. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done. And their sight was restored. Notice, it wasn't according to their social status. It wasn't according to their income levels. It wasn't according to their church attendance. It was according to their faith, which means God responds to our faith. Scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Scripture tells us that we are made right with God by our faith. Jesus healed these men because of their faith. When Jesus healed the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, he said, your faith has healed you. When he healed a paralytic man, he said, I've healed you because of the faith of your friends, which means your faith matters. Faith can move the heart of God. And maybe the reason that our prayers aren't being answered is because we're just sending up half-hearted prayers. And I'm the biggest culprit. I can't tell you how many times I'm praying. And as I'm praying, I'm thinking, this is never going to happen. And it's not that I don't think God can do it. I know God can do it. I'm just not sure he's going to do it for me. You ever been there? So when it comes to our prayers, our faith clearly matters. However, in some church circles, they can be cruel about this teaching. And they say things like, well, the reason God didn't heal you is because you have a lack of faith. Talk about kicking somebody when they're down. And here's the strangest thing. You know, when God does something, he should get all the credit, right? But when God doesn't do something, we often get the blame. You didn't pray right. You didn't have enough faith. And so while it is true that God does honor our faith, it is also true that many of us are living under a false sense of guilt, believing we've done something wrong, because many Christians have distorted the power of faith. There is this growing trend, movement within Christianity called prosperity gospel, prosperity teaching, faith, word, healing, whatever you want to call it, that effectively teaches that if you have enough faith, then God has to do what you want. That God has to heal you, that God has to bless you, that we can use our faith like a spiritual crowbar, if you will, to jimmy open God's treasure box. That all you got to do is have enough faith and we can just name it and claim it and it's yours. If you have enough faith, it's yours. You want that job? Boom, it's yours. You want that healing? Boom, it's yours. You want that big bank account? Ooh, that's yours. Because if you have enough faith, you can move mountains. Here's the problem. Not only is that a biblically inaccurate interpretation of faith, what's worse is it causes us to put our faith and not in God. And it begins to elevate the individual and their faith, and it minimizes God. Listen, faith matters. Faith is important. Without faith, we've got nothing. But at the same time, and this is where the tension exists, at the same time, just because we have faith doesn't mean God has to do anything. Meaning you could have all the faith in the world, but God is still the one in charge. He's the final decider. Now, I can't explain all the nuances of how faith works. I wish I could. I can't. I know it's important, and I know that sometimes we lack faith. So when we pray, let's believe that God can. So why doesn't God answer prayer sometimes? Number one, maybe it's because we have broken relationships. Number two, maybe we've got the wrong motives. Number three, maybe we lack some faith. The last reason I'm going to cover today is that perhaps God's got a different plan. We talked about this up at the top, that God is the main character. His will is ultimately what we seek. His will is more important than our will. I hope we know that. And so sometimes, even though we think we know what's best, even though in our mind this thing that we want is a good thing, God might have something different planned for you. John says something interesting. 1 John 5:14, he says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, not according to our will, not according to our wants, not according to our desires, not according to what seems best or what makes sense logically, but if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. So the flip side of this is, if we ask God for something that is outside of his will, it's going to be a no. There's a great example of this in the life of Paul. Paul had what he described as a thorn in the flesh. That's his words. Now, scholars are not really sure what this issue was. Some believe it was an eye issue. Others believe it may have been migraines or perhaps even epilepsy. But whatever it was a problem, okay? It bothered him. He said it tormented him. He actually called it a messenger of Satan. And Paul says it three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. And knowing Paul, I'm sure he prayed more than three times. It's probably like three seasons of prayer where he pleaded to the Lord, Lord, would you take this away? I've seen you do miracles. I know the power you have in this world. This thing is slowing me down. It's hurting me. It's tormenting me. Please, would you take this away? And each time he prayed, the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. God said no. God did not do what Paul knew God could do and what he thought God should do. Instead, God did something different. Now, here's the amazing thing. Later, when the dust all settled from all this, Paul looked back onto this weakness, so to speak, that God had left him with, and he was able to see it from an entirely new perspective. He actually appreciated it. And he said, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, he would say, I may not have gotten what I wanted, but clearly, I am exactly where God wants me to be, and that is where I am strongest. Because we are never safer or stronger than when we are in the will of God. It was fall of 2001. And I had just declared my major, business. I had always dreamed. I always wanted to be an investment banker on Wall Street. That was my dream. Some kids want to be astronauts. That's what I wanted to do. Anyway, so one of the first classes that I had to take in my major was accounting. And the truth was, I struggled. Okay, it was really difficult for me. So much so that I hired a tutor to help me kind of get through this class. I put the work in. And when it came time for my final exam, I took my grandfather's advice. He was a pastor. And I studied. I studied as if everything depended on me. I prayed as if everything depended on the Lord. And I bombed that final. And when I say I bombed, I got a 36%. Okay? That's not even an F. That's like an H. Okay? Now, to this day, I don't know what exactly happened, because that was not normal for me. I was an excellent student, thank God. So I actually appealed the grade. You could do that at my school. And I went before the dean of students. The professor was there. I made my case, and I didn't ask for an A, I didn't ask for a B. I just asked, would you amend the grade to a D so that I could continue with my major? And then I prayed. And my parents prayed. And I'm sure my grandparents prayed. And the school said no. Here's an actual picture of my transcript. There's that F right there. Oh my gosh. There it is, folks. That was a dark and scary time for me. It really was. It really was. But looking back now, I'm so grateful that God did not answer our prayers, because it forced me to change majors. And I dropped business. And I picked up religion, and here we are. And I was telling you, there's going to come a time in your life where you are faithfully praying for something and it doesn't happen. And in that moment, you're discouraged and you don't get it and you don't like it. But one day you, like me, like Paul, will realize that God had something different planned for you. And it didn't seem like that in the moment. But now you can look back and you see his hand and you see his love and you see his mercy and you realize not giving what you thought you wanted was an absolute gift. Here's what I believe about prayer. Prayer reminds me that I'm not in control. And it keeps me close to the one who is. Because of Jesus, we have the privilege, I don't know if you ever think about this, we have the privilege to speak directly to the Creator of the universe. We can pour out our hearts to him, and scripture says he hears us. And sometimes he doesn't give us what we ask for. Other times he gives us exactly what we asked for. And every once in a while he blesses us beyond our wildest dreams. So what's practical? What do you do with a message like this? If it's your first time here at DHC, every single week we put this word on the screen because we want to make sure that you can leave on a Sunday and know exactly what to do with what you've heard. So there is so much to be said about prayer. I mean, so much so that we've done entire series about prayer. But today we focused only on one aspect, unanswered prayer. There will come a time in your life when a prayer will go unanswered. You will pray for something, and it just doesn't go the way that you wanted it. So the question is, how will you allow that unanswered prayer to affect your belief in a good God? There is an amazing story from the Old Testament that I want to leave you with today. It's about three young Jewish boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these young Jewish boys had been taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. And one day, the enemy said to these boys, "Bow down to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." That's a problem, okay? That's a real problem. That's not like getting an F in accounting. That's a real problem. And I want to show you how these boys responded to this threat. They said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Before Jesus healed those blind men, what did he ask? Do you believe I'm able to do this? These boys believe. They believe that God is able to save them from death. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods. In other words, even if God doesn't answer our prayers, even if the Lord doesn't save us, even if God doesn't do what we know God could do, we will never run from him. We will still love him, and we will still believe. Listen, God has the power to answer every single one of your prayers. Scripture says that with God, nothing is impossible, which means we should believe with all of our hearts that God can and will and is able to answer our prayers. But even if he doesn't, we can still believe. We can still know that he is good. We can still know that he loves us. We can still know that he is in charge and that he holds us in the palm of his hands. And ultimately, he is writing a bigger story for our lives. So you pray, okay? And you pray big. And you believe that he will. And if he doesn't, just know that you can still believe. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, the fact that we can pray to you, it's one of the greatest gifts of all. Lord, you say that we have the confidence of knowing that we can approach your throne, Lord. You've challenged us to pray to you, bring all of our concerns, wants, desires to you, Lord. Many of us in this room, Lord, have been crying out to you to move in our lives, to move on our behalfs, to touch the hearts of those we love, God. God, I pray today by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would move on those prayers, God. But if for some reason, Lord, our prayers are seemingly going unanswered, I pray that you would search our hearts, that you would show us anything that's going on in our lives that maybe, just maybe, is impacting the intimacy we have with you, God. Bring it to our attention. Put a light on it, God. Convict us, Lord. And help us to change, God. Because ultimately the most important thing in our life is our relationship with you, God. And it is through prayer that we can build this relationship. And Lord, I pray that every single person in this room, that even though you may not give us what we want, would know that you give us everything that we need. And even if, Lord, even if a prayer goes unanswered, that we can still believe that you are who you say that you are, our Lord, our Messiah, our Father. We ask this in Jesus' name.